Stone. Well, last week when I was sick, I was reading Psalms, and I noticed a word that kept repeating itself through the Psalms, and that was the word fear. And I found 20 promises in the Psalms to those who fear God. So obviously we won't get through them all tonight, but you can study the rest of them at home or however far we get. Because there's an amazing study in Proverbs after Psalms on the fear of the Lord with totally different promises. Like Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth life, prolongeth days. That's a great promise, isn't it? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. That's Proverbs. You should see all the promises to those who fear God in the Proverbs. Well, I was going through the Psalms reading last week. I read through the whole book of Psalms. That's a good book to read through when you're, you know, going through a little bit of infirmity, which mine is absolutely nothing compared to some of the things you've been through, some of you this year. But I've always been told, read Psalms. And so I had a couple bad days. And this word fear, like I never saw it in Psalms before. You wouldn't think that word was in Psalms that much, but it is, and there are 20 attached promises to God-fearing people. Some people dread the idea of fearing God. They say, oh, no, God is love, and God is grace, and God is merciful, and God is long-suffering, and God is kind, and, you know, we shouldn't have to fear him or anything like that. Well, those people do not know the Bible. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. And I really think a great problem just in the world today, let alone America, is just there's just no fear of God in their eyes. And so I'd like to just take you through these verses here, kind of whet your appetite. Probably if you're here Wednesday night, you have some fear of the Lord. But to whet your appetite, to keep fearing God. Of course, it also helps to have a working definition of words. And the word fear is a very, very broad word. It has a very broad definition to it. It can be something as simple as reverence, all the way up to something like dread. So it's being dreadful. Like Jacob said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And it's everything in between. It's everything in between. It can be just reverence. You know, it says we've reverenced our fathers when we were growing up. It doesn't mean we were like this every time they came around, like they were going to, knock us off into oblivion or something. No, we reverence them. This is my dad. I didn't call him George or anything like that. This is my dad. I reverenced him enough to use a proper title. And then it's all the way up to dread and everything in between. So the word fear has a very broad definition. So don't let anybody, I hear people say, well, it's just reverential trust. No, it's a whole lot more than that. Fear. But with it are attached all these wonderful promises. And let's get started here, and we'll go down the left column here. Notice with me Psalm 15 and verse 4. It's talking about those who are going to abide in the presence of God. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he, God, honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. And so honor is something that we should do. We should honor those that fear the Lord, and God also honors those who fear him. Back in Genesis 22, which is the only reference I'm going to make outside of Psalms, but I want you to notice how we should honor those that fear the Lord, the verse is saying, but God also honors those who fear him. Abraham was tested like no father probably has ever been tested. And that was when God told him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, his firstborn son, his son of promise. And in Genesis chapter number 22, of course, he went the three-day trip up to Mount Moriah with the wood and the fire and the servants and the sacrifice, who was his son Isaac, and he was supposed to sacrifice his son Isaac. In Genesis chapter number 22 and verse 11, he was about ready to plunge the knife into Isaac, believing that God was going to have to raise him from the dead, because God said that he was going to make a great nation out of Isaac. And the angel of the Lord said unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And then skipping to verse 15, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So I want you to notice that Abraham feared God so much that he put his fear toward God above the love of his only son and was willing to sacrifice him. And because he feared God, God honored him. And God said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And when you get over to the book of Galatians, we're all called the seed of Abraham. He was really the one, first one, who set forth an example to us of being a believer of the gospel. And I think if I asked you tonight, do you think Abraham, God has honored Abraham down through the years? You would all say, absolutely, absolutely. God has honored him, and God will honor those that fear him. Look at chapter 25 and verse 14. We can just flip through these here, go as far as we can. 25:14 was the next one I came to while I was reading. "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." There's another promise. "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." This is what we call revelation. Revelation. God will reveal things to God-fearing people, God-fearing men and God-fearing women, that he will not reveal to anyone else. It's what's called here the secret of the Lord. Number 3, chapter 31, verse 19. So if you want to understand the Bible and the things of God, fear God. And God will reveal things to you that he will not reveal to others who do not fear him. 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Notice a third promise, and that is what we call great goodness, or the goodness of God. "Great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Now, it's not just goodness, but great goodness. I think goodness is good enough. But for great goodness, when God sees a God-fearing man, woman, boy, or girl, "Great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them." Man, God has got some things laid up for the person who fears the Lord. Do you fear the Lord tonight? Boy, this should whet our appetite to say, man, I definitely want to fear God if I get all this with it. Chapter 33, verse 18. 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him." Look at that promise. Watchfulness, watchful care. "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him." God keeps an eye on the God-fearing person. And he has watchful care. And then, even beyond that, chapter 34:7 says, not only is God watching us, But the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. So you got God watching you. Now you got an angel of the Lord watching you. That's pretty good. Now we can't see these things. God is invisible. He's a spirit. But we can believe him by faith. And it kind of gives us a little bit more assurance and confidence as we go out into this world. Hey, God's with me. God's watching me. I fear him. And the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. That's protection. Encampeth around means he's all around us, forward, behind us, sides, and everything. Chapter 34, verse 9, two verses later. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Notice another promise and blessing that comes by fearing the Lord. It says, there is no want. That is satisfaction. There is no want. There is no lack. There is no need. There is no disappointment. All right? There's satisfaction. There is no want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's the same word here. And so the person who fears the Lord will be satisfied. How contrary to the thinking of this world. People think, well, if I fear God, I'm never going to be, you know, happy or never smile again or I'll never be blessed. No, his great is his goodness, which he has laid up for them, number three. And now we have satisfaction. Here's one, number seven. If we go to chapter 60 in verse 4, as I was reading, I began to take note of this word fear. This is, by the way, what we call a word study tonight. There's lots of different ways to study the Bible. And this is called a word study. Just take a word sometimes. Take a concordance and go through them verse by verse. And this is in Psalms. I challenge you to go to Proverbs, which we're not going to even touch tonight, and look at all the other promises given to those that fear God. Look at chapter 60, verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Now this word banner here refers to a flag that is being raised on a pole after a victory. Chapter 60, verse 4 means victory. If you're wondering what the symbolism is, thou hast given a banner. In other words, you've given the victory. You've given the victory. And we just came through it. It wasn't really worth watching or anything, but the Olympics, they were about as bad as ever. But did you ever see somebody up on the top of a stand after they won a gold medal? And what do they do with their banner? They run it to the top of a pole. And that indicates that they have won the victory. And that is what chapter 60 and verse 4 means. God will give you victory if you fear him. God is a God who has given us a banner. Sometimes you'll see people running around a track with a flag wrapped around them. You ever seen that before? Because they won a gold or something, they just that's their banner. That's the American flag in, or whatever country they're from, and they're running around with that thing. That's the picture here in chapter 60 and verse 4. Chapter 61, verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And so I call this one companionship. Heritage. We'll get to companionship later. I call this one a heritage. We have a heritage of past men and women who have feared the Lord, and we have a heritage we share with present God-fearing saints in our possession. We're not alone. There's maybe not a lot, but when David, who wrote this psalm here, Psalm 61, you know, maybe while he was writing this, he was thinking of Jesse, his father. Maybe he was thinking of Obed and Ruth, his grandfather and grandmother, Boaz, his great-grandfather, and the heritage he had. Boy, if you have a godly heritage tonight, you should thank the Lord for it. And that is yours to enjoy as a God-fearing person. And all those people, sometimes I'll read stories about C.T. Studd or Charles Spurgeon or whatever, and I read Spurgeon every morning, and it's just kind of like he's sitting there having devotions with me. I'm sure a person who doesn't fear God has never heard of Charles Spurgeon and has never been subject to the wealth of knowledge that God gave him in his lifetime that he put in print, that we can now share that heritage. Chapter 85, verse 9. 85, verse 9. We're talking, if you've just come in, about fear in the book of Psalms and all of its promises. I found 20. I may have missed some, but I found 20. 85, verse 9 now says, "Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Now, salvation, keep the word in its context. It's not always talking about salvation from sin through the gospel. Salvation is synonymous with the word deliverance. Deliverance. And so his salvation is nigh unto them, or his deliverance is nigh unto them that fear him. This word salvation here means deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare. And so if you fear God, hang in there, because it won't be long and the Lord is going to deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through, if you fear the Lord. Chapter 103 is the first of three mercy promises. 103, verse 11. I want you to notice number 10, we have great mercy. Number 12, we have everlasting mercy. And number 16, we have enduring mercy. And so there's three kinds of mercy that is promised to those who fear the Lord. 103 verse 11 says, "For the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." All right, not just mercy, but great mercy. How great? As high as the heaven, whatever that means. That sounds like a lot of mercy, though. So it's good to fear the Lord. It's good to fear the Lord. And fearing the Lord is you know, it's a commandment. It's not just something some people do and others don't. It's something. It's a lifestyle we choose. I choose to fear God. And that's a choice we have to make in this society, or at your place of work, or at your school, or whatever. And say, a lot of time we've got to maybe say no to things or something because I fear God. And it may put you in a spot sometimes, but there's great mercy and there's deliverance coming. Number 11 in 103:13, it says this, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Fear him. Isn't it nice for God to pity us? Maybe some of you had a good, sensitive father. Not everybody experienced that. Sometimes fathers are cold and hard, or they've deserted us, or divorced, or whatever, died. And a lot of people did not have a good experience with a human father, which sometimes makes it difficult for them to understand these statements about our Heavenly Father. But if you fear the Lord, He has pity towards you. He has pity towards you that fear the Lord. That word pity means compassionate feelings. Isn't that great? Compassionate feelings. The Lord has compassionate feelings. You know, if you fall when you're a little baby and you skin your knee, he's not the kind of dad that says, "Oh, get up and be a man. You know, quit crying." No, he's not like that. He has compassionate feelings, tenderness towards his children that are weak. That's what pity means. Tenderness towards his children that are weak. Praise the Lord. Man, I'll tell you what, there's been times where I've been weak or I've fallen and I felt like God should backhand me, but he was there with pity, with pity. Well, we covered number 12 already, everlasting mercy, which means forever, no end of its duration. Let's go to number 13, 111 verse 5, 111 verse 5, 111 verse 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's great, isn't it? If you fear God, he'll never forget the covenant he made with you. Our new covenants, the New Testament, of course, in his blood. But it says he'll give you meat. Amen? We will never, ever lack. What a promise. Do you fear God? He hath given meat unto them that fear him. And that's kind of hard to appreciate a verse like that in America, because we have so much food. But you know, prophetically, there are famines coming. Now, I don't know if they'll hit America or not, but it sure looks like it out west. Let's pray for them to get some rain, amen? They really need some rain out there. The 11 states that are in drought condition right now in America, and we need to pray for them. You know, if I shut up heaven, he said, that there be no rain, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. But let's not take food for granted. Let's be God-fearing. David once said in his day, in chapter 37 and verse 25, you don't have to go back there, but he said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so food. We ought to thank the Lord, like Kathy over there in the restaurant. That's always an opportunity to be a witness. It's just thank God for your food. Chapter 115, verse 11. 115:11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Who? Those that fear the Lord. He's your protector. He's your helper, your shield. You're hidden behind him. He takes the blows. He takes the darts. He takes the arrows. He is your protector if you're a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman. Number 15, same chapter, verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, this is just for people who are significant, people who are important, right? Wrong. Some small, insecure, or insignificant, obscure person who nobody else even knows your name, if you will fear God, he will bless you. He will bless you. That's what it says right here. There's no partiality with God. God blesses the most insignificant person as well as a king if they fear him. And so number 15 is blessings for those that fear the Lord. So don't be afraid to choose a life of fearing God. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It'll change our behavior, that's for sure. But who cares about the evil? Look at all the good stuff you get in its place. And we're not even done yet, and I've probably missed some. Well, we covered number 16 already, enduring mercy. That's the third time mercy. Great mercy, everlasting mercy. Enduring mercy, 10, 12, and 16. This means through all the trials of life, his mercy endureth forever. 119, verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And so here we see that when a person fears the Lord, back in number 2, we saw the secret of the Lord was with him, that is revelation. God reveals special things from the Bible to that man or woman to the point where now in number 17 they become grounded. They become grounded. And that's a good place to get to in your walk of faith, is when you're grounded and you're no more tossed to and fro like children, it says in the book of Ephesians, carried about with every wind of doctrine. But you know what you believe and why you believe and while you believe it, and God will help ground the God-fearing man or woman. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. What a statement. Devoted to thy fear. Devoted to thy fear. So don't let people talk you out of fearing God. There's a lot of that nowadays. Oh, God is love. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. And you can do whatever you please. Just ask him to forgive you. No, no. Mix the fear of God in that too. You know, yeah, he's love and gracious and merciful and all that. But put his fear in there too. Couple more here. 119:74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And so I call this one companionship. The God-fearing are glad when they meet other God-fearing people. They're not alone. They're not like Elijah, who thought he was alone. God said to him, no, I've got 7,000 others who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. And it's good to have companionship, because sometimes we start to think we're alone. And we're not. You're not the only one doing anything. Did you ever get that way where you're like Elijah? I'm the only one doing anything. Yeah, I'm the only one that believes anymore. And now you better get off of that. And enjoy fellowship. I mean, you can go Saturday men and meet men that are saved and have glad fellowship with them. As it says here in verse 74, if you fear God, if they fear God, it's like, wow, you're just like long-lost brothers that just got reunited. And we've seen that everywhere. Some of you have been all over the world, and you've been to churches, and you walk in, and they've got the same spirit you've got. And my wife and I have been in churches in 50 states, and you just go, and they're like we knew them all along, all the time. And it's a wonderful companionship that we have with others that fear the Lord. Chapter 145, verse 19. We're almost done. I didn't think we'd get through this. 145:19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Wow. That one's a blessing. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Boy, that verse is loaded. There's three of them in there. Fulfill the desire of the person. Hear their cry. And we'll save them. That is, when they cry out for deliverance in some situation. We should. Maybe you're having a hard time at work, or somebody's annoying you or something. Just pray, God, I love you. I fear you. God will come to your aid. Fulfill their desires. Hear their cry. That's a loaded verse right there. Could probably almost give that one three. 19, 20, and 21, we could have. Anyway, finally, 147, verse 11. What else do we find? He, the Lord, taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Wow, imagine that. God would delight in us. He delights in and enjoys them. That's what the word pleasure means. Do you fear God? And, well, of course I do. I'm moral and I got all these convictions. No, that's just like character. There's unsaved people just like that. There's unsaved people that dress real nice and act real nice, never swear, no. Do you fear God? Do you fear the Lord? Do you have constant reverential respect for him, all the way up to dread sometimes, and everywhere in between? So I found 20 promises in Psalms to those who fear the Lord. And so I hope they will whet your appetite, mobilize you to fear God more. And sometimes I've asked that puzzling question, Lord, why don't I fear you more? Why don't I fear you more? Give me more of the fear of the Lord. It says upon Israel, pretty soon he's going to put the spirit of the fear of the Lord upon them. And if he can do that for Israel in the near future, can't he do that for us tonight? Can't he do that? Can't we say, God, give me that spirit of the fear of the Lord, that proper fear? And then you have all these promises from a God that can't lie in Psalms. And then, like I said, go to Proverbs when you get home and get your concordance out and look at all the other promises. Like I mentioned, that one, the fear of the Lord prolongeth day. So, amen. Well, let us sing a song tonight, and let's turn to page 843. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. Let's fear God. What did Solomon say? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. That's the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. 843, as we stand together. 843. I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be held by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey, the mouth, the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight and ask you to forgive us of the sin of omission, of not fearing you like we ought. Help us to see all these glorious attached promises to those who do fear you. Lord, I pray for someone in this room tonight to fear you enough to get saved. Lord, for you said some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And someone here tonight is not saved, and they need to fear God. They need to fear the holiness and the justice of God before they face eternity. Lord, we pray they'd be saved. We pray, Lord, we'd have more of the fear of God in our homes, our families, our marriages, in our behavior. Lord, and there would be things we wouldn't dare do because we fear you. And yet realize we're not missing anything by fearing you. We're gaining so much as we study tonight. Oh, God, help us now. We pray for Sunday. We pray for the picnic. Lord, usually people come that don't come to other things. And we pray for a divine appointment for them this Sunday. Lord, especially to know the Savior. And so, Lord, just dismiss us now. Bless our fellowship one with another. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 A lot to pray on there.